Welcome to the W5VSA.
W5BSA.
W5BSA repeater automatic control operator change over M4.
Good evening, folks. QST, this is Marty, WV5Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSatNet. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1602, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, March 11th, 2025, which in UTC time is Wednesday, March the 12th, 2025, at 0200. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control. And this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. And thanks to Joe, W5BSA, we're on the 145.19 repeater in West Houston, and the PL tone is 123.0. And we sure had a good time this past weekend there at the Greater Houston Ham Fest. And we're glad to say Andrew, KC5LWI, won the second place prize. Very good. We're very glad about that. Lucky for him. And it was a Yaesu FTM 500DM. So we know he's going to have fun and get that installed probably in his vehicle and have a lot of fun playing around with that in the future. So, let's see, I'll now take a local check-in.
Kilo Delta 5, the clock's set, Julius, 85-6-2-J.
This is... Whiskey 5 Bravo Sierra Alpha, W5 PSA. Good evening, Marty. And a quick announcement here, reminding everybody that we're also able to monitor the Houston AmSatNet tonight. Monitor only over on 442.5 or node 572580. So just want to let you know that's up and running. Marty, back to you.
Ah, very good, Joe. Things are continuing to improve all the time, yes. We appreciate your hard efforts there and getting the nodes connected and digital things working. And so we appreciate that. And we're glad to hear we're on the new repeater there, the 442.5. So good news there. And even though for tonight it's one way, but... still, that's very good. We appreciate that, Joe. Let's see, we got any other check-ins. Let's see, we got Herbert, KD5PQJ, and then we got Joe, WBSA. We got anybody else out there?
This is Whiskey Bravo 5, Hotel Oscar Whiskey, WV5HOW, Victor, Northwest Houston.
Okay, very good, Victor. Welcome aboard, WV5HLW over there in Northwest Houston. We're glad to have you aboard.
Well, thank you. Just tuning around here and heard you calling. Heard Joe checked in. I'm only running about 10 watts on my little backup emergency portable rig, so having trouble hearing me, let me know. Back to you there, WV5HOW.
Okay, well, actually, you got your full quieting. You got a perfect signal into the repeater. And very good audio. So I'd say you're 5 out of 5, no problem.
Hey, thank you. Well, I appreciate that. It's an old $1,900, about 20 years old.
Well, do the job. Well, we're going to start with a quick update here on BLT 143, which is from AB5SS, John.
and it was launched on Saturday, along with 140 also, and which seem to be the prominent ones that have been beaconing and progressing. John's balloon was last detected over into Africa. It had well gotten off the edge of the coast there, and it had gotten over the African continent. And BLT-140 looked like it wasn't too far behind. So that's good news, and we'll be providing more updates, and we'll be keeping our eye on BLT-143, which was launched from the Greater Houston Hamfest down there in Rosenberg.
Error 201.
Okay, we have to remember to keep it short and sweet, and so we'll be doing a lot of unkeying here, so we don't time out that the LinkedIn repeater. So we got to remember about that. But so let us know here right off. Okay, this is Marty WV5Y with the Houston Amstrad Net. If you'd like to call and make a quick phone check-in into the net, you can. The number is 713-467-9870. You can send an APRS message to WV5Y or West Virginia 5 Yankee with no dashes, no numbers, as Andy used to like to say. And you can also send an email, and that's to WV5Y at Comcast.net. All right, we're going over here to ANS Bulletin, Weekly News Service Bulletin number 68, and this week's editor is Frank Kanoskis, N1UW. The AMSAT News Service Bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. And as y'all can probably tell from my voice, I've picked up the wife's cold, which has been going around. I know lots of people. So you just hope the voice hangs in there. And so ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports and activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating through analog and digital amateur radio satellites. Okay, the news feed over on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. And you can sign up for free email delivery of the AMSAT News Service Bulletins via the ANS list. To join the list, you go to mailman.amsat.org/Pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. All right, good news. Another batch of CubeSat SIM kits will be available soon in the AMSAT store. And that's a new batch of 20 CubeSat SIM kits. And they will be available for purchase in the AMSAT store on Wednesday, March the 12th, 2025, at 7 p.m. U.S. EDT, and that's at 2300 UTC. And they're priced at $400 with shipping included for U.S. addresses. The CubeSat SIM kit offers a hands-on learning experience with no soldering and some assembly, making it ideal for both educational use and public demonstrations. I mean, basically, you've got an example of a satellite right there after it's all put together. CubeSat SIM kit includes a fully assembled and tested printed circuit board, common, a few of them, the main, the solar, and the battery boards. It's got a Raspberry Pi Zero 2 with a Pi camera and fully programmed micro SD card with the image to boot and make the whole thing run. And it's got also it's a fully programmed Raspberry Pi Pico WH. So that's WH, that's the wireless one with the header. Okay, you get one of those cool little red AMSAT logo remove before flight tag switch keys. And you get a 3D printed frame, nylon screws and nuts with a mini screwdriver included for assembly, metal standoffs, stacking headers, and JST jumpers for stacking the printed circuit boards and the Pi Zero 2. The kit includes 10 solar panels with pre-soldered JST connectors and mounting tape, a BME 280 sensor, which includes pressure, temperature, altitude, and humidity, and an MPU 6050 IMU gyro pre-soldered. And then we've got six SMA coax cables and two SMA antennas. The kit also comes with an instruction sheet, parts inventory, and links to online instructions. Assembly time is estimated to be under 2 hours with scissors and the provided mini screwdriver. The version 2.0 CubeSat Sim features improvements over version 1.2, such as an FM transceiver, Raspberry Pi Pico microcontroller, and RF command and control using DTMF or APRS packets. It can also be modified to function as a 500 milliwatt high altitude balloon payload. For those folks interested in creating their own CubeSat Sim, version 2.0 blank PC board sets are available at store for $35. These require additional components, of course, which can be purchased for approximately $300 using the provided bill of materials. And then some additional resources include the kit instructions, which are over at cubesatsim.org/kit. Okay, there's videos, and they're over at cubesatsim.org/kit-videos. There's a discussion forum at github.com/AlanBJohnston/CubeSatSim/discussions, and the quick start guide, cubesatsim.org/QSG.
CL-123.
Okay, for more information, or to possibly borrow a loaner CubeSat simulator, you can contact Alan Johnston, AMSAT VP of Educational Relations, and that's at ku2y@awrl.net. Okay, if you'd like to order one, the kits will also be sold exclusively on the AMSAT store website. Only U.S. shipping addresses are eligible. Orders with non-U.S. addresses will be refunded and closed. About CubeSat Sim, CubeSat Sim is a low-cost satellite emulator powered by solar panels and batteries. It transmits UHF radio telemetry and can be expanded with additional sensors and modules, making it ideal for educational and public demonstrations. And we want to thank Alan Johnston, KU2Y, AMSAT VP Educational Relations, for that information. Okay, we want to say thanks to Bruce, KK5BO, our webmaster for the website over there, for making tonight's URLs available. Of course, we didn't see Bruce over there at the Greater Houston AM Fest. And we didn't see Daryl either. I think Daryl is working for the rodeo maybe now, parking those big trailers. But, we sure did have a good time, though. And I know Andrew is enjoying that new radio. And you never know, Andy, you know, he could have had something to do with that. All right, the 2025 AMSAT President's Club coins are here now. You can celebrate the 40th anniversary of amateur radio on human spaceflight and also help support Golf and Fox Plus at the same time. And you can join the AMSAT President's Club today. Help keep amateur radio in space. You just go over to www.amsat.org/join-v-amsat-presidents-club. All right. Well, we're just a couple of minutes here, quarter past the hour, so we're going to take a quick standby, and we're going to look and see who we've got checking in via some of our alternate means. Okay, off the phone lines, we did hear from Andrew, KC5LWY, down there in Galveston. And he can't wait to get playing with that radio. And so we appreciate him checking in there right as the ferry was coming up to the dock. And let's see. We haven't heard from Charlie in the last few days. That's K5ENG. He's over there in West Houston. So we're going to have to ring his bell and see what's going on over there. But we do have Dale, WD0AKO, over there in Moorhead, Minnesota. He does the backup archiving of the audio for the website. And then Vern, WA0RCR. Vern makes our net available on the top band on the weekend, in prime time, and that's out of Wentzville, Missouri, and that's on 1.860 megahertz. As Vern likes to say, it's in full carrier AM at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. So we appreciate him putting us out there on the top band on the weekend. And then we got Kai in 6ZZO. He's one of our podcast listeners who calls and checks in usually the next day after the net when he gets a chance to listen to it. Okay, from the Internet Relay Chat System, the IRC, we've got Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, Brian, KG4WIJ, Renee, NZ9T, and Bob, K8WX. Excuse me. Okay, and then over here on Echo Link, we've got Mitch, 80HJ, and then we've got the connection there to the W5BSA there, the Stera repeater, so appreciate that from Joe. We have Damien, AG9P, he's up there in Oconto, Wisconsin. We have Bruce, KK5BO, and Bob, K9OIM.
Whiskey Delta 5, Juliet Romeo Delta, late.
Okay, very good, Carl. WD5JRD over there in Jersey Village, in far northwest Houston. Glad to have you aboard. No problem checking in there. And it's good to see you after. Then, of course, thanks to Mitch, who we just mentioned is on Echolink there, 80HJ. You get to participate in a Wednesday night AmSatNet, and that takes place on DMR. And here it's also over on the 442.5 repeater here in Houston now. That's good news. And the AmSat Digital Talk Group, the DMR Talk Group, is 98006. Or if you've got that Yaesu stuff, it's YSF Fusion 11689. So I think that's how it goes. And so we appreciate all those new connections. And the Wednesday night DMR net takes place at 9 p.m. Central Time, and that's on Wednesday. And thanks to Mitch, 80HJ. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, with the Houston AmSatNet. Golf TE advances their flight software and the bus status. Burns Fisher, WB1FJ, recently presented a review of the progress being made on the Golf TE flight software and an overview of the satellite electrical buses and telemetry. This next generation of Gulf satellites, greater orbit, larger footprint, is what Gulf stands for, and it marks a new era of communication satellites. The Gulf series of satellites requires technologies that are new to AmSat's CubeSat program. The first satellite of this ambitious effort is called a Gulf T for Technology Exploration Environment. As an experimental mission, Gulf T is designed to fly in a readily available and low-cost low-Earth orbit. Its purpose is to test technologies that will be used in later Gulf satellites. Fisher showed the audience a new 3D printed model of Gulf T and its circuit board mock-ups to be secured on aluminum rails. Gulf project engineers are optimizing placement of the circuit boards, so a model of each board is a big help. They are confronting the challenges that satellite designers face when trying to fit stacks of circuit boards, batteries, complex control systems, and experimental payloads inside a 10 centimeter by 10 centimeter by 30 centimeter space frame that is the core of a 3-unit CubeSat. He explained that the 4 fold-out solar panels are expected to generate about 36 watts of power in full sun. Fisher commented, "That's a surprising amount of power." But before Gulf T is ready to fly, several Earth-bound versions of the satellite are being used by AmSat engineers.
DL-123.
A flat sat is a generic term describing the first attempt at interconnecting the circuit boards to be used in the satellite. The components are spread out on a table for easier access to subsystems. At this point, the circuit boards may not even look like what the final items will look like. The flat sat is used for initial testing and development of the circuits, as well as the software that runs and communicates with the systems. The project uses an AmSat Linear Transponder Module, or an LTM, for command control, telemetry, and a VU linear transponder, as well as a newly designed radiation tolerant processor, the RTIHU. The satellite will utilize a real-time operating system controlling three microprocessors. He said, processor coordination is new to golf. It keeps watch over processing monitoring for failures. It codes with failures by switching processors. Golf T uses a number of different electrical buses, including 12C and SPI. The purpose of any bus is to communicate along the different electrical units while reducing wiring complexity. Fisher described the eight software programs, also called tasks, that the real-time operating system manages: downlink control, telemetry collection, diagnostic console, receiver transmitter control, commanding, experimental control, processor coordination, and CAN support. Fisher's work includes tests of the CAN bus and the central interface unit interconnecting various subsystems. The CAN bus is a controller area network that is a vehicle bus standard designed to enable efficient communication primarily between electronic control units. The CAN bus is new to the AMSAT CubeSat program. Golf T will carry a Vanderbilt University ARADFX, or Radiation FX, experiment using 12C data communication format. Vanderbilt University's Institute for Space and Defense Electronics and analyzes radiation-hardened electronics, develops and plans for assuring radiation hardness, and develops solutions to system-specific problems related to radiation effects. An upcoming feature of a future Golf satellite will be the ability to comply with NASA's orbital debris and collision avoidance requirements for satellites flying in higher orbits. This means carrying not only an attitude detection and control system, but a possible propulsion system needed to deorbit the satellite at the end of its useful life. Burns Fisher credited technical contributions to the program by Chris Thompson, VE2TCP, Richard Gopstein, KD2CQ, and Bill Schnell, W2WZ. Fisher is a life member of AMSAT and the volunteer lead flight software developer for Golf satellites. And we want to thank Burns Fisher, WB1FJ, AMSAT Golf lead flight software developer, for that information. Okay, this is Marty WV5Y and the Houston AMSAT Net. See, we've got a new textbook featuring a GNU radio that has been published. The GNU radio community announces the publication of a new textbook dedicated to GNU radio and its applications: Communication Systems Engineering with GNU Radio, a hands-on approach explores a wide range of topics, including radar, GNSS reception, satellite communication, and digital communications. This book encapsulates over 12 years of experience working with GNU Radio and provides a structured, hands-on approach for students, educators, and practitioners alike. software-defined radio, or SDR, which emerged in the 1990s, has become a core development method in certain high-profile fields, including military and space communications. High cost and problems with hardware availability, however, prevented this technology from being widely disseminated. The advent of low-cost, beginning in the 2010s, however, has made GNU Radio the leading open-source software toolkit for developing SDR systems, an increasingly viable and even critical tool for a new generation of radio frequency communication engineers. Communication Systems Engineering with GNU Radio provides an accessible overview of this toolkit and its applications, beginning with the fundamentals of using GNU Radio for digital signal processing. The volume then moves to the practicalities of decoding data and the advantages of accessing radio unavailable in hardware-defined radio frequency receivers. The result is a potentially crucial tool for engineers looking to adopt this cost-effective and flexible standard for transmitting and processing radio frequency signals. Readers will find a careful balance of radio communications theory with GNU Radio practical implementation examples employing well-developed open-source GNU radio platforms and extensive accompanying documentation and explanations. Educators looking to connect with the GNU radio community are encouraged to join Pound.edu on chat.gnuradio.org or reach out via email at education@gnuradio.org. Communication Systems Engineering with GNU Radio is ideal for graduate and undergraduate students in communication system courses, as well as professionals working in SDR. The GNU Radio community extends its gratitude to the authors Jean Michael Freit and Herv Boyglin for their work making this resource available. More information is available at www.gnuradio.org/news/2025-01-29-GNU Radio-textbook. And we want to thank GNUradio.org for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y with the Houston AmSatNet. Yeah, we're just a couple minutes here past the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a quick standby and see if we have any late check-ins. So any local check-ins on the 145.19 repeater, come now. All right, this is Marty, WV5Y with the Houston AmSatNet. The ISS, the International Space Station astronauts, reject a call for early retirement of the station.
PL-123.
Astronauts on the International Space Station said they disagreed with Elon Musk's claim that the station was past its prime and should be deorbited in as soon as 2 years. Speaking to reporters on March the 4th, NASA astronauts Sonny Williams, KD5PLB, and Butch Wilmore, who have been on the station since June on a flawed Starliner test flight, and Nick Hague, K KG5TMV, the commander of the Crew 9 mission that will bring the two back with him later this month, addressed political issues like an early retirement of the ISS and must claim he offered NASA a early return of the Starliner crew. That included comments on social media by Musk on February the 20th, where he said the ISS has served its purpose and has very little incremental utility. Musk called for deorbiting the ISS as soon as possible, which he said should be in 2 years. NASA's current plans call for operating the ISS to 2030. I actually was extremely impressed coming up here seeing how much science is going on, Williams said when asked about Musk's comments. I would say we're actually in our prime right now. We've got all the power, all the facilities up and operating. I would think that right now was probably not the right time to call it quits, she concluded. We have probably intended in our agreements, and I think that's probably really accurate because we should make the most of this space station for our taxpayers and for all of our international partners and hold our obligations. NASA is instead proceeding with its plan announced in August to have Wilmore and Williams return on the Crew 9 Crew Dragon spacecraft, which launched with two empty seats to provide room for their return. NASA did not consider bringing that capsule back early to ensure there would be an overlap with the Crew 10 mission launching as soon as March the 12th. When I launched in late September, our planned return date was the end of February, Hank said. Given the amount of training that's required to get a crew ready and the complexities associated with getting a spacecraft ready to launch and operate in space, targeting a March return is pretty much on target. Because Williams and Wilmore did not launch as part of a planned Crew Dragon mission, they do not have customized pressure suits, using instead suits either on the station or brought up on cargo spacecraft. That means, Williams said, they don't have their names on them like a typical Crew Dragon suit. But that's okay. We're just Butch and Sonny, and everybody knows who we are by now. We do have Sharpies up here, Wilmore added, so my suit might have a name on it. ANS thanks to SpaceNews.com for that information. Okay, this is Marty WV5Y with the Houston AmSatNet. Hey, do you need new satellite antennas? You can purchase M2 LEO packs from the AmSat store. And when you purchase through AmSat, a portion of the proceeds goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And the URL for that is over at amsat.org/product-category/hardware. All right, it was nice on Saturday over there at the Greater Houston Ham Fest to catch Jason from Ham Radio 2.0 there. I think he was just coming out of the bathroom. Yeah, that's a good time to catch him there. So it was nice to see him there. All right, looks like we're down to the list. We've got the VUCC satellite standing for March 2025. And VUCC satellite award endorsement change summary. And it goes from February 1st, 2025 to March 1st, 2025. right. Not too long of a list here. We've got in first place, head of the line, we've got W's.
Got an error there. Oh, I see. It's just formatting error.
We've got WC7V is going from 16 and 11 contacts to 1,619 contacts. Okay, we've got F4BKV from 1,200 to 1,300, YO2GMI from 1,003 to 1,170, G3GS from 1,103 to 1,122, JK2XXK from 1086 to 1103. We've got EA2AA going from 1026 contacts to 1050. And N9FN from 700 to 752. Okay, we've got HB9GWJ going from 553 to 575. PA7RA from 495 to 534. M8URE in grid FM19 going from 450 to 471. KB3IAI from 358 to 400. DF5SF from 217 to 301. K5WO from 255 to 270. WD5GRW from 205 to 213. And then WD5GRW in grid EM13QC is new on the list with 213 contacts. And from over in China, we've got BI4IA new on the list with 110 contacts. All right, we want to say congratulations to the new VUCC satellite holders. And we'll thank John Goering, N7AZ, for that information. All right, and then we've got those folks that have been working countries. We've got the DXCC satellite standing for March 2025. The DXCC Satellite Award Endorsement Change Summary, of course, goes from February 1st to March 1st, 2025. And these are for the number of countries worked. Okay, we've got OE9DGV going from 213 to 214 countries. That's right about where I'm at on HF countries. I think I'm at 213. Okay, we've got HB9A from 188 to 196, YO2CMI from 174 to 180, G4GIR from 171 to 172. We've got HB9AOF going from 151 to 163. We've got YO2KHK going from 156 contacts in countries to 158. Okay, we've got HB9RYZ going from 153 to 155, F6AOJ from 143 countries to 145, we've got W0NBC from 124 to 142, A65BR from 112 to 117. I know I worked them on HF. Congratulations on the satellite work. We've got LA0FA from 112 to 117. ON6AA new on the list with 114. We've got TF1A going from 103 to 112. DJ7NT from 105 to 110, IK8YTA from 100 to 107.
DL123.
Okay, then we got a couple of new folks here on the list. We've got DL6JZ with 101 and G0MRF over there in England, new with 100 contacts. And I want to say congratulations to those new DXCC satellite holders. And congratulations to ON6AA, the first DXCC satellite holder from grid JO11. Okay, we want to say thanks to John Goering, N7AZ, and for that information. And also, we want to remind everybody, you can get your AMSAT removed before flight key tags. They're nice and red and bright with white lettering on them, and they're now available. And they are the real thing. Okay, your $20 donation goes to help fly a Fox Plus satellite, and we'll get you a removed before flight key tag. It includes first class postage, sorry, only U.S. addresses. You can order today by going to www.amsat.org/product/amsat-remove-before-flight-keychain. Okay, let's see here. This is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT Net. See, we want to remind everybody about those website addresses. Of course, ours is AMSATnet.com, where Bruce has the links for tonight's and every week's topics as we discuss them. Got them there in a little document, so you can just click from the very front of the website and get in, and you can follow along if you desire. And then he's also got satellite award information, since he is the satellite award guy for AMSAT. And he's got information on how you can get awards from working satellite contacts. And then he's got more of that over at AMSAT.org. And then also over there, you can find the status of the satellites. You can find the frequencies that they're operating on, and information about the symposium that comes up every year. And then there's the store, and you can even buy those satellite antennas. So be sure and check out over at AMSAT.org. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y with the Houston AMSAT Net. We do have some changes to the AMSAT TLE distribution for March the 7th, 2025. True line elements, or TLEs, often referred to as Keplerian elements, or just simply KEPs in the amateur community, are the inputs to the SGP-4 standard and mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. You can just do weekly updates, and that's completely adequate for most amateur satellites. TLE bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day, and new bulletin files immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites. Okay, you can find more info over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. And they've made some changes in the format. They say notice, in an effort to minimize confusion between the sources of two-line element sets, AMSAT is adopting the convention of listing the USSF/NORAD satellite catalog name first, followed by any secondary name or names in parentheses. For example, POEM space 4, and then in parentheses BGSAR PIT, was added recently, where POEM 4 is the name that appears in the U.S. Space Force satellite catalog, and BGSAR PIT is the name best known within the amateur satellite community. Expect name regime changes for affected satellites in the coming weeks as this change is fully implemented. Okay, this following satellite has been deleted from this week's AMSAT TLE distribution, and that is FO-118, NORAD catalog ID 54684, decay from orbit on or about the 6th of March, 2025. All right, we want to thank Joe Fitzgerald, KM1P AMSAT Orbital Elements Manager, for that information. Amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the International Space Station. The downlink frequency on which to listen in, it's on at 145.800 megahertz worldwide. Let's see, we don't have any contacts currently scheduled. The crossband repeater on the International Space Station continues to be active. It's on at 145.990 megahertz up with a PL tone of 67. And there's a downlink on the 437.800 megahertz. If any crew member is so inclined, all they have to do is pick up the mic, raise the volume up, and they can talk on the crossband repeater. So give a listen. You just never know. You might end up talking to an astronaut. Okay, and if you're into that digital stuff, you don't want to speak, you can still work the ISS. The packet system is active. It's on 145.825 megahertz up and down. But, as always, if there's an EVA, a docking or an undocking, the ARIS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. Okay, all times that we've listed are approximate because we don't know exactly where you are, so it's recommended you do your own orbital prediction. We'll start listening about 10 minutes before the listed times. And the latest information on the operation mode for the ISS can be found at www.aris.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html. And the latest list of frequencies in use is over at aris.org/contact-v-iss.html. All right, we thank Charlie Safana, AJ9N, one of the ARIS operation team mentors, for that information. This is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. All right, as far as upcoming satellite operations being listed, none are currently listed. But a growing number of satellite rovers are currently engaged in sharing their grid square activations when they do have them over on hams.at. And by visiting the website, you gain easy access to comprehensive information about the operators responsible for activating specific grid squares. All right, in addition to that, you have the ability to assess the max score between yourself and a particular rover for a given pass, and you can also identify the upcoming satellite passes that are accessible from your location. We want to thank Ian Parsons, K5ZM, AMSAT Rover Page Manager, and Alex Nears, K6VHF, for that information.
DL-123.
All right, looks like we got about 5 minutes left here or so, and we're down to AMSAT Ambassador Activities. AMSAT Ambassadors provide presentations demonstrate communicating to amateur satellites, and they host information tables at club meetings, ham fests, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. Well, that Greater Houston Ham Fest last weekend, I know I keep harping on it, but it sure was a good one. I wish we had those a little bit more often. Okay, we've got the March 22nd, 2025, the Midwinter Madness Ham Fest. It's at Buffalo Civic Center, 1306 County Road in Buffalo, Minnesota. And it's 55313. And the URL is k0itc.org. Let's scratch that. k0ltc.org/midwinter/madness. And you should see k0jm, 80HJ, and ke0pbr there. Okay, then April 4th to the 5th, we've got this Southeastern VHF Conference for 2025 at the Quality Inn, 3095 Wilma Rudolph Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee, 37040, and the host there will be W4FCL. Okay, then there's Rars Fest on April 5th. At the Jim Graham Building at the North Carolina State Fairgrounds, and that's at the Youth Center Drive, Gate 5 in Raleigh, North Carolina. And they can go check it out at www.rarsfest.org/index.php, and you should see hosts K4EB, N4AEW, W1DCM, KK4HG, and N4HF, making everything possible. All right, are you interested in becoming an AMSAT ambassador? AMSAT ambassadors provide presentations, demonstrate communicating through amateur satellites, and host information tables at those club meetings, ham fests, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. I know a really famous one we used to have was Keith Pugh. He loved, especially at that Austin convention, he'd get up there in the parking lot, show everybody how to make those low Earth orbit contacts. He would get a really good audience, do a good job, and everybody would leave impressed. Okay, if you can find more information, you can go over to www.amsat.org/ambassador. And we want to thank Bo Lowry, W4FCL Director, AMSAT Ambassador Program, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT Net. Are the kitties bored and driving you crazy? If you read the last issue of the ANS Weekly Bulletins 10 times and you still have 9 hours to go before the next usable pass of the ISS, how about spending some time with a rocket-oriented coloring book? You can get your kids and their crayons out and navigate to Monday,